because I seem to be picking up some dodgy texts for baptismal sermons these days. Last time but one, if you remember it, was the new atheistic slogan on the side of the bendy buses in Croydon. Well, this week, well, did you see the Oscars the other week? When Slumdog Millionaire swept the board with 8 different awards. It was a great night for the Brits, but it was an absolutely amazing night for some of the stars of the film. Before filming, the only life that some of the young stars knew was scratching out an existence on the rubbish heaps of the slums of Mumbai. And Slumdog Millionaire, of course, changed all of that. And they found themselves on Oscar night, snatched from rags to riches, dressed up to the nines. And there was an interview with one of these little chaps, about 7 years old. We might get pictures in a minute. And he said, well, what have you been doing tonight? And he said, I've been getting autographs. And who have you got? And he mentioned some sort of actor or other, might have been Brad Pitt or someone. And who else? Angelina Jolie. And that was a lovely moment for me. We never learned whether Angelina Jolie had asked for his autograph, but she probably ought to have done, because that little geezer at the age of 7 was a film star. The life of the young actors reflects the story of the film, of course, because it's a love story. Although it's set around a game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, what actually drives the central character, Jamal, is not money so much as love. And the film traces the story of this young lad, born into squalor in the Mumbai slums, seeing his parents killed in communal violence, eking out a living off the rubbish tips, kept as a slave, escaping and running for his life. He shares many of those experiences with a young girl who becomes the love of his life. And when she is kidnapped and he loses her, he goes to hell and back to in love to get her back. And engineering his way onto Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is his way of enabling her to make contact with him again. And of course, at the end of the film, he ends up ridiculously rich because although he's uneducated, his experiences have taught him the answers to all of the questions that are asked on that night. He ends up a millionaire. But the big prize is that he's found love. What on earth am I saying all this for? Well, I mean this in the nicest possible way, Steph and Cheryl. But this morning, you are our slumdogs. Forgive me for describing your life. Because there are some powerful parallels between the film and their experience that they've shared this morning. They, like many of us here, have been rescued out of extraordinary poverty into incredible wealth. And at the heart of it all, we've found the most valuable life-giving love in the world. The Bible puts it like this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's look at the bits of that. First of all, this poverty. We might not think of ourselves as poor. Cardiff isn't exactly the same as the slums of Mumbai, not this part of Cardiff anyway. But from God's perspective, you see, without Jesus Christ, we are desperately poor. Paul, in writing to the Christians in a place called Ephesus, reminds them of a time before they knew Christ. He says, you were without hope and without God in the world. That's not a great place to be. That's real poverty. Not to have a sense that there is a future to look forward to. To miss out on the sense that life has got a meaning and a purpose and a direction about it. Without life, without hope is bad enough. Actually, without God is worse. Because you and I were made for a relationship with God. That's what our lives were designed for. We weren't designed to fend for ourselves in a cold, parentless universe. But without Jesus Christ, that is exactly where we are. We're in a universe where we're on our own, without a meaning, without a purpose, without a hope. We're in a universe where there are no values and there's no real basis for knowing that we're actually worth something. And actually, hardline atheists will say, yes, that's absolutely right. Isn't it great Unfortunately, it isn't great. It's not a good place to live. Strikes me you only need to go past the student union bar late at night to realize that there are an awful lot of people in Cardiff for which the safest place in this world, the most comfortable place in this world, is out of their heads. That's not great to know that you're in that place. Essentially, without Jesus Christ, that's where all of us are. There is real poverty. Secondly, there is astonishing love, and that's what we celebrate this morning. Our song, our story is not, in a sense, like Slumdog Millionaire, because in our story, it isn't our love that's made the difference, but it's the love of a third party. It is the absolutely astonishing love of God. Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to explain, because Jesus Christ was God. He had all the wealth, all the privilege of heaven, but he chose to give it all up for us. He got born into poverty and insecurity. He lived his life serving others, teaching, healing, loving people, and took not a penny by way of fee. He embraced death on a cross. One of the most barbaric methods of execution known to man, and one that even the Romans had abolished in about AD 300. He did all of that. He paid that whole price as part of a rescue mission. And the rescue mission was for us, for you and me. He took the penalty for everything that was wrong and sick inside us. He came down to the very depths of human misery so that he could lift us out of it. He died to overcome death. He died so that we can live. And this is the fantastic drama that we reenact every time somebody goes through the waters of baptism. We act out again the death and the burial and the rising again of Jesus as we go down into the water, go under the water, and then we come back up again. We affirm what Jesus did for us. We affirm that what he did for me. And we know, because he's become part of our life and experience, that the death that Jesus died brings us into a life-giving relationship with God, into a life that's got future and purpose. That is fantastic love. Fantastic love. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul. Strange word, grace, isn't it? We don't use it in ordinary language today. What it means is simply the outpouring of God's love for us when we don't even begin to deserve it, and when we cannot do the very first thing to earn it. In fact, if you want to understand grace, there's a little mnemonic which works quite nicely, and it is great riches at Christ's expense. That's God's grace to us. And that brings us to the third thing, which is there is wealth beyond our dreams. God in Christ has made us incredibly rich. Through Jesus Christ, he's brought us to know his love in a profoundly personal way. I loved what Cheryl was saying. Now I know I'm never going to be alone again. And that's fantastic to have that sense of a presence that walks with us through the entirety of our life. Through Jesus Christ, God has brought us to know his love in a profoundly personal way. He's given us the gift of forgiveness. He's wiped the slate clean. He's cleared the skeletons out of the cupboards. All the wrong things that you and I have ever done, he's paid the price for. He's given us an identity. He's made us children of God. We're family, for goodness sake, with the creator of the universe. He's given us a purpose and a future. Because the new life that Jesus won through his death and resurrection is an indestructible life. If you like, what Jesus did was that he came down to where we are so that he can lift us up to where he is. There's a real sense in which we are God's slumdog millionaires. You know, right at the end, I don't know how many have seen it, probably most. Right at the end of the film, there's a question that's asked. How did Jamal win? Answer A, he cheated. Answer B, he was lucky. Answer C, he was clever. Answer D, it is written. And the correct answer is D, it is written. Now, God has done something very special in the lives of Cheryl and Steph. How come? Answer A, they're good. And God's rewarded them because they're good people. Answer B, they are the religious type. There are people who, for whom this whole religion thing happens, and there are people who don't. It happens to some people and they're the type. Answer D, it's their upbringing. It's just what their parents taught them and they never thought for themselves, poor dears. Answer D, it is written. And the correct answer is D, it is written. The reason why they are able to come with their story of what God has done in their lives is in one sense nothing at all to do with them. It is everything to do with the purpose of God. It is written. What is it that's written? It's written that God loved the world so much that he gave his own son, that whoever puts their trust in him, whoever believes in him, should never perish but have everlasting life. This is one of God's whosoever moments. This is an open invitation. This is for all comers. God's sacrificial love for you and me is written. It's written in the Bible, but it's also written in blood, the blood that Jesus shed for you and me on the cross. And if all of this is new to you today, you're probably not ready to chuck everything that you've known before now into the air to make a life-changing commitment to Jesus Christ. You probably aren't at that stage, but maybe you're ready to explore and check the thing out for yourself. And I want to say, after Easter, we're going to be having an Alpha course that starts after Easter. I would love for some of you guys to include yourselves in it. Come with no pressure. Come and stop coming if you feel like stopping coming. Nobody's going to chase you up. Nobody's going to try and shoehorn you. Ask your questions. Make them as difficult or awkward as you like. But come. And if you're interested in Alpha, then Ben, the guy who started us off, who's been kind of leading this morning, is one of the guys leading it. So have a word with Ben after the service, or if you can't find him, talk to me or one of the leaders of the church. For some of you, the God question may have been buzzing around your head for a little while now. And it may be that you know that this is the time when God's asking you to climb off the fence. As the girls had to climb off the fence and actually open up your life to Jesus. I'm going to lead, if I may, a short prayer. And if you're in that place, and this might be just one person here this morning, it might be half a dozen people, if you're in that place, that the God question's been going around, but actually this morning you've been aware that God's saying, okay, it's make your mind up time. It's time to make a response. And I want to encourage you just to echo silently in your own heart the words that I pray, and then after the service, find somebody who is a Christian and tell them that you've done it. Let's pray. God, I acknowledge my poverty without you. That there's things wrong in my life that need putting right. That there's a poverty of not knowing you. There's a poverty of not having a hope and a future. I acknowledge your amazing love, that you weren't prepared to leave me in that place, but you sent your son to die for me. And I thank you for the amazing love that Jesus showed when he took my place on the cross. And God, this morning I want to embrace the wealth that you offer. The wealth of sins forgiven. The wealth of entering into a relationship, a personal relationship with you. The wealth of knowing that never again in my life do I need to take one step alone. The wealth of having eternal life. And God, this morning I open my life to Jesus. And I want to say yes to the new life and the new way of life that he offers. And so, Jesus, I give myself to you. and I ask you to come into my life. Amen. If you prayed that, if it was real for you this morning, then find somebody that you know who's a Christian and let them know that you've done it. It can be me, it can be a friend, it can be, well, whoever you like.